Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World. I'm your host, Pete Werner, and joined at the table this week by Charles Boda.
Hey there.
Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
And back on the controls, our producer, Craig Williams.
Hello.
Are you not on? Oh, you are. Okay, there you are.
Oh, yeah. Got to step in and take control of this.
Ew. And he's lit. It looks like you were lit by Ed Wood. That lighting is not good.
Yeah. He's my hero.
All right, so... Sorry.
That's weird timing.
My phone's going off. All right, so in this week's episode, we are going to talk about a topic I didn't really care about, but we've been getting a lot of requests on it, so we're going to do it. The best queues, lines at Walt Disney World. Namely, that's because I won't go on anything that I have to wait in line for. If it's not a walk-on or I don't have a fast pass, I walk right past it. But I live here so I can get away with that, whereas, you know, when you're coming on vacation, you don't necessarily have that. So we talked about it before the show and came up with six that we feel are the best queues at Walt Disney World, and this is in no particular order. We'll start with Tower of Terror. Really well-themed. Take this over, Steve.
Okay, so obviously the outside gardens is the first area of the queue, and then you head in towards the lobby of the hotel. And the lobby is like, looks like it hasn't been touched in years and years. There's cobwebs everywhere. There's old newspapers. And this is where, like, as a little kid, where I already started getting scared, even before I was on the attraction. And then you go into the pre-show, which they show the video, which, if you've never been on the ride before, it's just a short snippet of kind of the story of why you're going on this maintenance elevator, and it furthers the story a little bit further. And then you go into the basement boiler room maintenance area, and then this is where I was even more scared as a little kid. So I don't know. I feel like it really captures the feeling of going, doing this little adventure of going on this maintenance service elevator and going into a real hotel. And I think it just captures the environment really well.
It does. No question. Yeah. It's brilliantly themed.
One of the things about it, you know, as far as being a good queue for this attraction, is that it adds to the story. It's not just making you wait for a story like really great themed queues. It's a build up to it. It's not just, oh, well, this is a fun place to hang out. It tries to make itself part of the story, and especially for the subject matter, the Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror kind of thing. Like, that's setting the vibe early is really, really important to how the ride is. Otherwise, it's just a drop ride. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and for me, I like the subtleness of it, that when you're out in the garden section on the days when it is happening, when they actually have like the misters on, that's creating like a fog effect. You know, yeah. During the day, it doesn't quite have the same impact as if it was at night and the area was all foggy and kind of spooky. But then having a lot of the music from the 20s, 30s, even into the 40s, just playing in the background, but they added like the right echo to it. To give it that faint, like, it's all just old and decrepit, and like having Vera Lynn sing "We'll Meet Again," yeah, and just hearing it, it's like, wow, this, what, will we meet again? But it's those little small details that makes this queue so good to me. That's why I don't mind actually waiting 30 minutes for this and being stuck out in the gardens, because I feel like that is such an important part to lead into the story once you're inside.
They also did a really great job of making things look old when they're not, like, down to little cracks in the cement that, you know, would make it look like it's been in an abandoned hotel, and vines growing on walls that they really could have gone basic, but they thought of everything in this queue.
Do you think, in this particular instance with Tower of Terror, do you think the ride would be less enjoyable if the queue wasn't as good?
Certainly.
Yeah, by far. It's the thing with that idea of setting up the story and setting up the proper mood and vibes and everything like that is essentially what is, you know, just a drop ride with with the additional like mood enhancing elements, that's what makes it. It's, you know, the theming is what makes the ride. It's not just the action of the ride. So
yeah, I will give you an example of how that works for me, because I've only done the Florida one the one time. I went like years ago, so I know what it looks like, but I can't I don't like it. But when they remodeled the California one and it became Guardians of the Galaxy, like when we go to Disneyland, I do that at least twice a day, every single day I'm there, and I would do it more if the
line. I don't know how you can do that and not lose your lunch. Well, I was so nauseated by the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
I always have Dramamine pumped in me because of the motion sickness I get from the flight or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's still usually in my system or something. But that is a ride where the theming, I'm just agreeing to your point here, is that the theming overtook the attraction so much that I just love the videos, the experience, the everything. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, it's like what you're talking about with the Tower of Terror. It's the full package, you know what I mean? And it really transports you.
Mm-hmm. And that's, Rhino and I were talking about this, about Guardians, because I'm looking forward to doing it. I'm also a bit terrified because drop rides are not my favorite. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that I've ever gone on Tower of Terror is because of the theming. If it was just advertised as like, okay, it's a drop ride, no, I don't have time for that. But I can't always refuse to go on it because the theming is so cool and so in depth, and the queue is a large part of that, you know.
Well, another one on our list, Expedition Everest at Animal Kingdom.
I don't know why you have this on your list.
You know what? Oh, you don't like it?
I think it looks cool, but it's just not. I don't know. I don't care. It's just a queue. I don't understand why you have this on your list and not, like, it's very similar to the safaris in me. Like, we go in and out of
offices. No, I disagree so much.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, so with Expedition Everest, it's dynamic. That's one of the things. Like, there are a couple essential factors that make a good queue, in my opinion. One is theming, but the other is that it's dynamic, that there are new things to pay attention to around every corner so you don't get super bored. Mm-hmm. And they've got all these little Easter eggs and little things in these different rooms that are setting you up for the expedition that, you know, around the next corner, there's stuff to look at. The safari waits and everything, it's a standard wait. It's, you know, visually pleasing, but it's still a standard wait. Expedition Everest has all these, like, little cues and things to look at while you're going through. So
yeah, it's not just constantly down and back, like you kind of said. It flows with it. It tells the story, you know. You're going on this expedition, so you go through their expedition offices, you go back out into the Himalayan region where they have kind of like the churches set up with all the bells that are, if this was a bad queue, it would be because of those bells, because it drives me nuts every time the kids. I know I did it when I was a kid too, but it drives you nuts after a little while. But I mean, if you think about some of the props and stuff in that ride, like if you showed the poop that's in there or the Bigfoot kind of sculpture that they have or the broken tent, you would like instantly recognize, like, oh yeah, that's Expedition Everest. That's how much people pay attention as they're walking around through the museum portion of this queue. It's iconic. Yeah, I don't think I would do the same if you showed me a picture of something in Kilimanjaro.
There's also so much research and effort that went into making that museum section of the queue.
Yeah.
That zigzags back and forth, and there's all those amazing displays that you know, have different relics of people that actually believe that Bigfoot and the Yetis are real. So I don't know. I don't know. You're crazy, but
I'm gonna compare. I'm gonna give you an example of like why I like. So to bring it back, almost like Tower of Terror, but and not to keep going back to Guardians, but it's one of the newer attractions that have been built in Disney parks that I've experienced. So what I like is like there's a video that's playing, but it's telling a story, and it goes for a while. But then when the video's not playing, so it doesn't rely solely on the video, like some of the boxes around the thing, like the dog is wagging his tail, or this thing, or there's like an Easter egg to look for. I know you said there's Easter eggs inside of the other ride, but there's like things that are constantly being like, over here, friend, over here, like look over here, and there's a lot going on, and there's effects. I think I like effects.
This was built. Guardians was just made.
I'm just saying.
If you go back to 2006 when Expedition Everest opened up,
okay,
this was the premier queue at that time.
When was the Haunted Mansion built?
when the queue was rethemed back in 2010.
I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the stretching room and everything apart of it.
Let me ask the question also with Everest. Is this ride as good without the queue?
I think the queue adds something to it, but there's not that disconnect like with Tower of Terror.
Yeah,
like this is a good ride.
I do agree
like
with
it's
that.
It's a very fun, and even the ride itself is dynamic. There are things to look at and think, you know, it's not just a track coaster ride.
All right, but Rhino brings up a good point, and it's a good segue into our next best queue, which is Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
And I like that you just likened the entirety of the run-up to the actual ride itself as part of the queue, because it really is.
Yeah.
There's the outside portion, which they recently, in the last few years, plussed with some more interactive features.
Yeah.
But then you have the stretching room and the area that you walk through after the stretching room before you get onto the actual Doom buttons.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
Well, and so that for me, that's the it does feel like the attraction has begun, even though technically it hasn't. It has, but it hasn't because you're not in the vehicle yet. And even when it was just the queue outside that you were waiting in, I liked like the graves that were moving and the faces that were like the lady with the eyes that blink and the you know, reading all the graves. That's fun to me, and I like the stuff they've added, but I also don't care. It doesn't make a difference for me because it's not in Disneyland. And Disneyland's is different too, because even when you're just standing there and waiting, I like the lightning that changes the pictures on the wall. Like there's stuff like that
this is where I have to step in on it though. I know you guys all agreed on it. To me, that's not the queue ends as soon as the doors open up and you get in the room and you see Gracie's portrait start to change. That's the start of it. When Haunted Mansion was first conceived, it was supposed to be a walkthrough attraction. And so once you get inside there, in my opinion, even though there is still queuing to get to where you're at, this is the walkthrough portion of it. Once you get in the attraction, you get in that stretching room, that's all part of the attraction. It's just there's another line on the inside, but that's just because it's not managed properly and it gets backed up and it turns into this super long line. If you hit it at the right times when things are moving right, they're not overpacking the stretching room, then it's a nice free-flowing experience where you go from the stretching room right onto your ride vehicle.
Well,
but that's my opinion.
I think even if we go by that and say that the attraction starts, you know, once you get into the mansion and all of that begins, I think it still has a really, really solid queue. And one of the reasons for me that I really enjoy even the outside waiting periods, it's not just the gravestones and everything, but, you know, it's one of those rides where there's a freestanding structure that starts to get you in the theme, kind of like the walking up to the Hollywood Tower thing, is you're not just going up to like a themed building or anything like that. You're entering, you know, you're going into a haunted mansion, and just standing and looking up, especially in the afternoon or nighttime, is completely awesome. But just the walking through the graveyard or as you approach the mansion in and of itself is really fun for me. I've fast passed it before and it doesn't cut out a huge amount. And I think that actually goes to Craig's point too. If you can still fast pass it and not go and experience it, then it's probably not
okay. I have a question then too. So if your queue begins at the entrance of Haunted Mansion, then so like I'm sorry to keep bringing it back to Guardians, but it's the only thing I have comparable to Tower of Terror.
Gosh.
But that, so does that begin for you when you enter the building? So like if it was Tower of Terror, as soon as you're in the building, because you go into that room, and I don't know if there's a room like this in Tower of Terror, but that room where Rocket is,
yeah,
and he tells you what you're doing
for the pre-show. Yeah.
Okay, exit that room and I'm in a whole nother queue again. Are you telling me I'm on an attraction in the basement in the boiler room?
No.
Okay. That, how is the Haunted Mansion different though? Because I'm in a queue that is lining up.
That's a good point
for a Doom buggy.
I got to give
after
that.
I've done the thing.
See, and I disagree with you, Craig. I really do think that everything up to the Doom buggy is the queue. Because you are queuing, that is the main part of the attraction. Everything else is setting that up. regardless of whether it was intended to be a walkthrough from the beginning or not, it's not a walkthrough now. You have to get into the Doom Buggy, and that's really where the ride, quote-unquote, begins, for me anyway. So I've always looked at it as that's all, you know, it's really ingenious.
Yeah.
But it's still the queue.
I try to think about, and this is, I'm not knocking the reasons why you like the queue for whatever, I don't care. But my thing is, I try to think to myself, okay, all of a sudden now I'm in line for 45 minutes to an hour. What place am I not going to want to slam my head into a wall so that I can forget I was standing here for 45 minutes? And one of those places, I do not like being stuck in the queue for Everest because not only I get it where we are and where we're supposed to be, but it is hot in Florida and sunny a lot, and I don't feel as pretty as it is over there. I still am very aware that I'm in Florida in that queue the entire time. And so, like, I understand that it is hot where that takes place as well. And so you could argue that's part of the theming. But for me, that is what is the best queues are the ones where the second I've entered it, I start to feel like I'm being pulled away from where I am into somewhere else. That's all. What's that?
If I'm going to play the middle ground between Pete and I think you, Rhino was saying,
Rhino,
and
yeah.
Craig's opinion on where the ride starts in Haunted Mansion, I think, or where the attraction starts, I think it comes down to the definition of ride or attraction. I think the ride starts at the Doom Buggy, and I think the attraction starts, like Craig's saying, at when the doors
open. Wipe that brown stuff off your nose.
How about this for a rule? If you can still smell a stranger, you're in a queue.
All right. So I'll ask the same question here. Let's say right up to the Doom Buggy is the queue. Does this attraction stand on its own without that?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not nearly as good.
I mean,
the intro is a crucial.
There are people, and my mother's favorite part of that attraction is the Dorian Gray, like, aging photograph of Master Gracie. It's just because she loves the picture of Dorian Gray, like that. So that's her favorite part, and you know. But like, I try to think to myself, okay, let's go back to the 50s, like how it used to be, and we just walked up in the sun and we sat in that buggy, and that's where everything started. I think that ride, the attraction, is still a great attraction,
But not near. The queue still has a profound effect.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, all those experiences are iconic. Now, imagine if they took them away. How would you feel? Just
dead. Now, do you feel that?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. All right.
Wait, so, do you think? What do you think?
I think I'm of two minds on it. There's a part of me that says, yeah, the ride itself would stand on its own. I don't think it would be anywhere near what it is without the run-up that happens. Whether you consider the attraction beginning when you first walk through the doors, whether you consider it starting when you get on the Doom Buggy.
I do agree. The story starts the second you enter.
And so, I think it would lose something, but I would still enjoy it. I don't know that I would love it as much as I do. It's arguably my favorite attraction. All right, enough on Mansion. Let's move on to the next one, where I'm just going to disagree with those of you who think this is a good cue. Peter Pan's Flight. I agree it was made better by the some of the additions they added, and I thought they were interesting, but when we're talking about Tower of Terror, Everest, and Haunted Mansion in the run-up to this, this just does not fit in.
I haven't been on the new one. I've fast-passed it recently.
I've trick-or-treated through it. I've done it. Because when they do the party, they have a candy station. That's the only reason I know what that queue looks like. Because I am not waiting 90 minutes for that.
And that's the other thing, is that this is an attraction that routinely has an hour to an hour and a half long wait. And it's very difficult to get fast passes for that very reason. So I think you listed this.
I think this is a great queue. Yes, there has a long wait, but I didn't put that in as one of my deciding factors for any of these was the wait time. That was not a consideration. I was just purely going on the experience of seeing the queue, just walking through each of them. And I think that the new additions of having the the house, or walking through their house and having the interactive Tinkerbell experience that goes on. I think that all these little things are what makes those long wait times for kids go down, because they're enjoying so much of it, because they're seeing stuff to interact with and they're seeing different little things that weren't there before. So I don't know.
I what I like about it, what I would argue, I mean, it is still, you know, somewhere I'm going to get stuck. I'm going to be banging my head against the wall, like I said. But I like that you go through the kids' rooms. But I like that, yeah, like it's the shadow on the wall. It's like that when you move in the queue, things change and happen. So it does keep your mind away from the fact that you're stuck, you know, somewhere for a while. Whereas, like, if I bring it back to Everest, like, yeah, I can look at the stuff, but I'm kind of just sitting there like, okay, well, now I'm bored, so I'm going to read a lot of this stuff. Whereas, like, the other one, I feel like it engages you, whereas I have to engage the stuff at Everest. So it works the other way around. It asks you to interact with it, as opposed to the other way around, you know.
I also just think that
I don't like the attraction, though. But whatever.
Well, that's another conversation.
See, no, I love the attraction. I don't think this queue is particularly, I think Peter Pan is classic dark ride, you know, and it really harkens back to that let's say the golden age of mm-hmm. of Disney attractions, but I don't think I don't think this queue is I don't think that queue personally is worthy of this list.
I think the way I'm kind of judging this is, like, would I have my phone out while I'm in the queue? And I don't think I would during the interactive periods of the Peter Pan. I think that is its own adventure and its own little game that you can play. So I think that's...
Does this attraction stand on its own without the queue?
Certainly. That's not even a question for me.
Yeah, I don't think you need the queue to...
Do you think there's an argument to be made that in order to be considered a best queue, the attraction needs to be built up as a result of the experience?
I have an attraction I've thought about this exact
question. Let me guess, before. Guardians of the Galaxy.
No. It's not at Disney. It's at Universal. I think about this every time we do The Mummy. I don't mean to, like, bring it back because this is a Disney show, but I think about this every time. I love The Mummy, and I wonder how many people, because of the wait for that, is always like 15, 20 minutes. But you go through the first part so quickly, like, how many people actually grasp that the theme of the attraction is that you are filming, you are on set as a person, mm-hmm. like, filming a mummy movie. So it's a little more metaphysical than I think they just enjoy the roller coaster and the scenes of the mummy. And, like, it is one of those where you talk about, yeah, the attraction is fun, but, like, I don't think unless you took the time to stop and think about it, you miss out on that storytelling. So I think about that a lot, you know?
That's why the beef rage pops in at the end.
The beef rage. Yeah. Brendan Fraser.
But that's also, like, keeping all this in mind, you keep going to Guardians. You have to remember, too, partly Disney has always done, I think, really decent queues, but they had to up their game a lot after Potter.
And I agree with
their
you,
queues almost became more of attractions as themselves than the actual attraction. When people were being turned away from not being able to ride Forbidden Journey, they were still able to get a fulfilling experience out of just walking through the queue and seeing
exactly.
it.
And I was going to say that at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. And now Disney has also realized, you know what? We can really do the same, where if people can't get on an attraction we're going to talk about, Flights of Passage, you can get a lot just out of going through that queue. That's right. Pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Well, before we get to Flights of Passage, we have to go through Pirates of the Caribbean, because that's also on the list mm-hmm. of best queues. And while I love Pirates of the Caribbean, I don't know that queue rises to this level.
Okay, so that's...
Charles is like...
He's fighting words.
Well, obviously one of my favorite rides, but the thing is, you know, we all have different perspectives and opinions on what we think makes a great queue or how integral it has to be to the story. I don't think it has to be integral to the story. I think it can. That could be one element that makes a great queue. But as a kid, like, going up to it, I'm sure, you know what, when I'm in there, I do see people on their phones and everything like that. But I remember walking through and going through, looking, you know, the caves and that chlorine smell that I just, just love. I'm sorry. Going through the dungeon and everything like that, and then seeing the cannons and cannonballs and like different things, you know, the rusted, just about everything, that really set it for me, and it started to feel like I was walking into the environment, right? Mm-hmm. Now, so you take the ride and you take that out, right? Because that's where we're going with this. Take that queue out, or just make it like a regular queue, and you're in the bright Florida sun, and then you hop in and it's nighttime in the Caribbean. That is going to be a disconnect. With me as a kid and me a week ago, I start out in the bright Florida sun and I walk up right before it. And then I go through that queue. And as I'm going down deeper into the dungeon before I get to there, it starts, I forget that it's bright and hot outside.
Yeah, it cools you
off. I forget that I'm in the middle of Florida. I start to feel like I'm going on some cool nighttime adventure in the Caribbean. And the day becomes night because it gives me that disconnect and it gives me that time. It starts prepping me for the theme. And no, it's not a story in and of itself, but it builds towards that story so much.
It does.
That it, like, I have so many childhood memories of the queue just before the ride, just walking around.
But I think about like the Disneyland one, like, you know what I mean? Like, we talk about,
has absolutely no theming whatsoever.
Yeah, you literally are in the California sun, and then you're in this weird random half restaurant building that you get on and you're like, oh, people are dining. Hey, you know, but it has its own way of fading you into that. But you talked about like, but I agree with you. Mm-hmm. When I think about very distinct memories as a child, I remember being in the Pirates building. Is there a lot to do? No, but I mean, could they add some stuff? Yeah, I'd be all for that. But I agree. It's something about, it starts to get dark and cooler, and it eases you into that. You know,
for me, sorry.
I think that it also just proves that you don't need to have the TV screens and special effects and everything, though, because it uses the technology they had when they built it. And I think to this day, yes, I could see that there could be some upgrades, but I think even without it, it still tells a great story.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm all on board on this, too. For me, it is that smell. As soon as you walk in that building, it slaps you in the face, and it's pirate smell. Mm-hmm. It's that water.
It's also the water that comes out of our faucets for those of us who live here in Florida.
And I love it at home, too, but I also love the Pirates arcade music. I think George Bruns is the one who composed it. And so having that play as you're walking through the queue, it's that first initial recognition you get of a pirate's life for me before you then get on the attraction, and it continues the story in that way. So even though it's subtle, even though you might not be listening to it, it is starting to get ingrained in your head, and it's a very important part. Don't get me wrong,
it's not a queue I want to be in for an hour either, because like we said, it is really cool and transportive, but it's also like, what am I doing? I like things engaging, and Craig already said it. I think that Universal has like really set a bar for when you have these two experiences now in one, you know.
I will also say, with Pirates being, when it has a long wait time, that outside portion is just a big corral. So that part's kind of weak. But
yeah. All right. And finally on our list of best queues at Walt Disney World, Flights of Passage in Pandora at Animal Kingdom. And this I am fully on board with. It is amazing. Mm-hmm. Tell me why you love it, Steve.
I'm at a loss for words.
For me, it's that animatronic Navi in the tank is just absurd. That is so realistic and lifelike. And
I think you miss that if you get a fast pass, though, don't you?
Do.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate. But so what I'll say about that, which is kind of cool, even if you do miss that part, which I think is part of the coolest part of that attraction, is that animatronic and then the little science experiments around it. But you cannot walk through this and not think to yourself, it's so weird because you're like, this wasn't here a couple of years ago. This is man-made. But you're like touching poles that are rusted and supposedly been here for like, you know, decades because this is an abandoned factory. So you really go from this like mountain setting, because you're going up the mountain like through a cave almost. And then it starts to, you really see where like the scientists have drilled into this. So it does really ease you into that futuristic like world of Pandora that these like scientists have set up, you know.
And Pandora does get like it's I don't want to say it's easy or anything like that, but they did such a great job since that land is all the same thing. It's not a mishmash of different rides or different intellectual property. It's all Pandora. It's all the same intellectual property. Those little touches that they do, like rust stains on the concrete from old barrels and everything like that. The theming doesn't start for that queue. At that queue, the theming for the queue essentially starts the second you enter Pandora. It's the same basic theming everywhere.
That's true.
So you're there. There's even less of a disconnect because you've been feeling that you're on Pandora the second you walk into that land. Then when you get in there, your brain doesn't have to make a big adjustment to a new theme. You're already ready to feel that way. And so all it does is it ups the levels of immersion. And then it has these interactive stuff, you know, the science experiments and stuff that you can watch, the ferromagnetic stuff.
Yeah, I was just going to address that magnetic part. And the whole lab, it almost gets overshadowed by the Na'vi that's in there. But there's like hundreds of other really cool details to look in on that room. So don't just focus on the fact that you see that cool Avatar Na'vi in the corner, because there's so much to see in there.
Yeah.
So there you have it, our list of the best queues for attractions at Walt Disney World: Tower of Terror, Expedition Everest, Haunted Mansion, Peter Pan's Flight, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Flights of Passage. Do you agree, disagree, or is there something we left off this list? podcast@disunplugged.com is the address to send your comments to. And that will do it for this episode of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World, and we'll see you again next week. Have a good one, everyone.